Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we will hear from Africa's first woman Nobel laureate, Wangari Maathai of Kenya. She'll talk about how the efforts to overcome recent election-related violence are going there, and she'll talk about progress in addressing climate change. That's in just a few minutes. But first, we want to talk more about the violence in Guinea, where last week protesters were openly shot at and raped by government forces. So often when atrocities occur around the world community says it did not know or did not know all the facts. Well, now that the world does know the facts, what can or should the international community do about it? Here with me to talk about this is Amira Woods. She's the co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Her special expertise is U.S. foreign policy in Africa and the developing world. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's a joy to be with you and your listeners.
Amira, you know the facts of what happened there. The U.S. Secretary of State and the French Foreign Minister have strongly spoken out about what occurred in Guinea last week. What else can they do? What else should they do?
Well, Michelle, we have to say, first of all, they have to stop arming and equipping these militaries. This strategy for the U.S. in particular of partnering, of prioritizing African militaries is actually creating crises on the continent. We have seen it in Mauritania, where U.S. weapons and funds and training then strengthened the military and led to a coup in Mauritania. We are now seeing it in Guinea, that the funds from U.S. taxpayer dollars are being used in harmful ways. So we can't only look at the atrocities, these vivid images that we see before us this week. We have to look at the root causes and recognize the importance of stemming the flow of the weapons and the strengthening of the power of these militaries that are then entrenching themselves and using these repressive means to hold on to power.
Are there other players in the region who are important in Guinea?
Clearly, there are other players in the region. The African Union is probably above and beyond the most essential player in the region. They have been very vocal from the time of the coup after Conte's death, really calling on the military regime to not run for office, to respect the rule of law. But what we have seen is, you know, when you have power, you want to maintain power at all costs. And so what is in place now is a military government that, even though they said they wouldn't run for office, seems very well headed towards being a candidate in the upcoming elections.
So I guess I'm not clear here. You're saying, should the African Union take the lead here? You seem to say they are reluctant to challenge these regimes.
Well, the African Union has spoken out. They have taken the lead. They are also providing leadership and mediating the crisis now, bringing together opposition leaders as well as leaders of civil society, those who were actually victimized in the stadium. I think they're bringing all parties together to try to mediate a way forward. But most importantly, what they're focused on is what will happen in this process leading up to the elections and giving that type of support to make sure that elections happen in a free and fair way. This is what the African Union and also the regional body, the Economic Community of West African States, this is their focus right now.
And I take your point that you believe that the African Union is perhaps best situated to take the lead here. But going back to the U.S., you know, role here, a high-ranking State Department official did sit down with Kamara earlier to protest on behalf of the U.S. government. Are there any additional steps that you think the U.S. should take? Should they immediately cut off the flow of arms,
Absolutely.
Travel bans, things of that
sort? Cut off the flow of arms. I mean, again, what we see is a steady flow, whether it's Somalia or Guinea, a steady flow of weapons into the continent that then gets used to build repressive machineries to then violate the rights of women and people in the country. And I think we have to begin to stop that flow of weapons from the U.S. into countries like Guinea. Second, we have to focus on development. Michelle, if you go into Guinea, you realize from Conakry and all through the country, you know, it's like stepping back in time. There are no paved roads. I mean, it's simple things like development to build up healthy communities where people have decent jobs, decent places to live. Guinea is a relatively rich country if you think about it. Diamond, gold, bauxite, which is needed to make aluminum. You know, if the richness of the country can be used in the interest of the people, if people are able to choose their leaders freely and then hold those leaders accountable, this is what's needed in this 21st century, not really the strengthening of the power and the presence of militaries.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure.